Here at Brookings Radio, we welcome District 7 candidate for the House of Representatives on the Republican ticket, Larry Tiedemann. Obviously, you're no stranger to this, so why did you decide to run again for the legislature of South Dakota?
Well, as we were entering the COVID-19 situation and was seeing the impacts that were happening across the state because of that, I felt like I had a wealth of knowledge and experience that could help the state in making some decisions as we go forward. I went through this back in 2008, 2009, and 2010, and the state came out of it and the communities came out of it better than any other state around us. And so felt some of that knowledge would be beneficial.
You've served both in the state house and the state senate, but tell us a bit more about yourself for people who may not know you.
Well, I was born and raised in South Dakota. I graduated from Baltic High School and then came to SDSU and received my bachelor's degree and my master's degree. Also was commissioned a second lieutenant. And that was kind of towards the end of the Vietnam War. And so mainly had to go serve as in officer basic training and then in the inactive reserve for 8 years. Also, upon completion of my master's, I went to work for the South Dakota Cooperative Extension Service, serving in Lincoln County for 11 years and then 16 years as program leader, Ag and Natural Resources back here in Brookings at the university, and then the last 6 years as director of the Cooperative Extension Service and associate dean for the College of Agriculture and Biological Sciences. Upon retirement, I ran for the House, and then after 6 years in the House, ran for the Senate and served 8 years in the Senate.
And for a time, you were chair of the Appropriations Committee.
Yes, for 11 of those 14 years, I was either vice chair or chair of the Appropriations Committee. And some of the other committees that I also served on was on Government Operations and Audit Committee, and also retirement laws.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, the pandemic, and here's how I'll frame it. Has South Dakota done enough? And what is the role of the legislature in battling coronavirus?
Well, I think that, you know, has South Dakota done enough? I think that the governor's plan has really called out what was going to happen. She said, we need to minimize the impact initially to give the healthcare facilities a chance to get in place the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. I think she predicted that based on the data that we were going to see an increase this fall, and we've seen that. People have been very responsible. I think Brookings has done a great job in helping protect themselves as well as keeping businesses open and operating. The role of the legislature to me is one, I think we have to make sure that the dollars that were allocated or are going to be allocated for businesses and for all those other items, the Paycheck Protection Program, that they have, what's been the impact of that? A lot of dollars are going to be flowing through, about $1.25 billion, and going to different entities. But we need to look at, okay, were they appropriately spent? What's the impact? Where do we go from here? I look at education, a critical component. Our students were outside of the classroom for about 6 months. Are they measuring up to where they should have been if they had been in school? What's the impact of truancy? Have we seen more students not participating, not going to K-12 education? What's the impact on our post-secondary schools? And are they coming ready, or are they going to have to take more remedial courses to catch up? You know, we have to look at the impact on the businesses that have adapted, that are doing things. Hopefully they're staying in place and that we can take and help them rebuild the economy of South Dakota through those businesses.
Obviously, the legislature during the special session allocated the round of funding that was available, the $1.25 billion. We don't know yet if there'll be more on the way. I know some lawmakers have already said they may need to do more when it comes to personal protective equipment. What's next?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where, if there's more dollars that are coming. Right now, most states, including South Dakota, has not spent all that money. It's been allocated so that they have the opportunity to put those grants out there. And then they have you know, the future year to spend those dollars if they're allocated prior to the end of this year. What's next? I think we need to look at what are some positives we can garner from this whole situation. Doing your doctor visits by virtual rather than going there in person all the time. Does that work? Does it? What needs to be fit into place to help those? It's hard to look in the throat and feel of your neck virtually.
Right.
So those are things we have to look at into the future. I think the nursing homes and assisted living, those folks have been isolated from their families. There's a high incidence of COVID and deaths from that, but did they die from COVID or did they die from just lack of contact with their family?
Let's talk a little bit about education. We'll start with K-12. Some schools like Brookings have been hurt by a loss of enrollment. Do you see the legislature doing anything to help out schools like Brookings?
Well, I think that there's a lot of dollars that have been put forth to the education systems, K-12 and even the post-secondary. So a lot of them have used those dollars to separate the students, to do some different things, provide food for the students. So there's a number of items that they can garner from that. I think we've lost some students. I don't know if those students were lost because they're just not participating, or if we saw a decrease in enrollment. And those are things we need to look in there. There's that one day in time that they take the census for K-12. And so maybe that will change as we go forward. Some families are still deciding whether or not they want to do it at home virtually, or if they want to be, you know, partaking in the school itself.
At this point, what do you think will be done with the funding formula?
Well, I think that right now, this year, the funding coming into the state has been exceedingly great. It's amazing that the sales tax numbers are up. The contractors' excise tax are up. Those dollars are what fund education K-12. And so this year, we're probably going to be okay because the state was also able to save some general fund dollars that will then have to be replaced in a year and a half from now.
Let's turn to higher ed. Currently, there is a task force looking into higher education. I think one of the members said it's at least the 12th time this has been done. Do you expect anything to come of that, and where are we at with higher ed?
Well, with higher ed, I'm an extremely strong supporter of higher education. That's creating the workforce for the future, along with post-secondary, the tech schools. I mean, that's critical. We cannot have them trying to get by on the bubble gum and baling wire. They need to have dollars to make sure that they're meeting the demands of the students. I think that the task force is looking, anytime that you look at yourself to see what you can do better, and if you can take that approach, I think there's some value. Again, when I was in the Senate, I asked the question, what do you want to do different that you currently are not doing? Should we be offering degrees in dental science? Should we be offering, you know, training dentists for the future? Or are we going to continue to have our folks trained out of state and then come back? We have a lot of key ingredients here at this university in engineering and in health science that would fit very nicely with a dentist program. But we don't think about what can we do different.
Other than those items we've talked about, anything you would like to work on if you're elected?
Well, at this point, you know, I really don't know what committee I would be on if elected. I've got to wait to see what that happens. But there are some issues that I think we want to make sure that education is taken care of, that our health services, our employees are protected, as well as systems in place so that we can maintain a good health system for the people of South Dakota. I think that it's imperative that we look at how we can rebuild the economy of the businesses that have been severely impacted through this COVID-19. Once there is a vaccine, then I think the state also needs to look at how we're going to administer that vaccine, who gets it first on down the line, to how we can deliver that vaccine as long as it's safe and can provide the system so that the people don't have bad side effects and that it helps them take care of the coronavirus.
One final question. Why should the voters of District 7 cast their ballot for Larry Tiedemann?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. One, I think it's the experience that I can bring. I think that I know the process. I understand the process. And as long as you follow the process, the people are treated with great respect. And we have an opportunity to work across lines to do what's best for the people of South Dakota. I'm willing to, as I said, roll up my sleeves and go to work for the people of Brookings. It's a very humbling experience to represent the community of Brookings and SDSU.
Larry Tiedemann, candidate for District 7 House of Representatives, thank you very much.
Thank you, Perry.